Welcome back to the Broad Street Line. Roy Burton and Chris Domingo are here with you, and joining us right now from Backpage Sports at WPMD.org and from Bleacher Report, Kwame Fisher-Jones. Kwame, what's good, man?
Hey, Kwame. What's going on, fellas? How you feeling?
Excellent. Now, we're talking Sixers, and I need your help. Before we get started, I need your help to visit my co-host, Chris Domingo.
I'm hearing him. I've been with y'all for the last 20 so minutes listening to him. And, you know, first of all, is he allowed in Philly? Like, where is he from? Is he from Boston? Boston Celtics to make this Eastern Conference Finals? Is he serious? Come on, man. The Golden Eagles are not making it out of the first round. And you heard it here first. You'll hear it on TV as well. The Golden Girls are not making it out of the first round. They will lose to the Atlanta Hawks. Write it down, mark it down, take a picture. They're going to lose to the Atlanta Hawks.
Okay, well, more importantly than that, convince my man Chris that the Philadelphia 76ers have a puncher's chance against the Chicago Bulls.
They should be the favorite going in. All right, let's start from the beginning. Let's look at the Bulls' strengths. Rather than try to talk down on the Bulls, let's look at what the Bulls do best. What do the Bulls do best? They defend and they play. That's what they do. What do the Sixers do best? They get out in transition and they play hard. Second, the Sixers play well against teams that do not have superstars. The Bulls have one superstar who is injury-riddled. If Derrick Rose was healthy, I would still go with the Sixers. They have one superstar who's injury-riddled. You look at the numbers. The Bulls give up the same amount of points the Sixers give up. The Bulls score the same amount of points the Sixers score. They're evenly matched across the board. So then you look at the intangibles. The only intangible is Derrick Rose. That's the only intangible you have, a hobbled Derrick Rose. Now, when Derrick Rose is healthy, he's a prolific player, one of the best in the game, can finish above the rim. It's clutch at times. But the one thing Derrick Rose struggles, he is not a great ball handler. You have a plethora of long, lengthy, athletic players. The Sixers can not only throw at Derrick Rose to trap him, but also make him work to get every bucket he needs to get. He alone scores about 26, 27 points a game. Mm-hmm. The Bulls as a team go for 94. The Sixers let up 89. So let's say everybody plays about their measure. The Sixers make Rose struggle, and they can. And the Sixers play the way they played, give you your four players of 20 points, four players of 8 rebounds, four players with 5 assists, and Derrick Rose struggles. The Bulls have nobody to fall back on. Joakim Noah and Carlos Boozer are the only two players that shoot not only above 50%, above 45% on that roster, significant players.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only two that shoot above 40. Luol Deng shoots 41% from the field. 41%. That's their next best score. Shoots 41%. I love the Sixers' chances. I love their chances against the Bulls.
There you go.
You got to hurt Derrick Rose. Not only that, you have a Chicago Bulls team that does not have any superstars. The Sixers can go tit for tat with role players. It's the superstars. It's LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, David West that knock them out of the water. It's not the role players. So Ponytail ain't beating anybody. Carlos Boozer is not going to outdo Elton Brand. Think of realistically, like just you know, throw the records aside. You know, let's look at the teams as what they are right now. The playoffs start right now. The Chicago Bulls are not that much better than the Sixers team. Not only that, you have a Chicago Bulls team that does not play, not get out well in transition. That's what the Sixers do. You were talking about Jrue Holiday, which I agree with you 100%. He's not a point guard. It's another Stefanski masterpiece move there. why they don't draft? You got Darren Collison sitting there. You got Ty Williams sitting there. Oh, Ty Lawson sitting there, and he goes with the guy that is out of position. I love
right.
that move. But anyway,
right.
you know, you look at what Jrue Holiday can do. He'll give you 20 points. He'll give you 8 rebounds. He'll give you tough defense. He'll give you 5 assists. Elton Brand, he'll give you 20 points. He'll give you 8 rebounds. He'll give you 4 assists. He'll give you tough defense.
Wait, before you go, my co-host is kind of – he's making faces in the background. I want him to respond.
No. Right now, like, I'm just so glad he's in because Kwame, like right now, I'm not high on the Bulls at all. I don't know. Like, they're banged up right now.
You shouldn't be.
However, like, I don't know. You're giving the Sixers way too much credit than they deserve. This is the one team that has been dead for the past month. Like they have had some of the worst losses you can't even explain. Can you explain that loss? Like, can no, about Kwame. Can you explain that this last month of just awful basketball? Because you said the Sixers play hard. I respectfully disagree with that for the past month. They have not played hard, and it shows because if the Sixers don't play hard, they get blown out by mediocre
okay.
to less mediocre teams.
All right, let me jump in there. The last month they've been sporadic. You know, they've lacked some of the oomph that they had in the beginning of the year. But are you ready? It's just like a woman. If you've been with a woman for 20 years, are you ready to throw her out because she's had a few bad months? No.
But that thing, the Sixers aren't is the definition of a dog woman. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know. Like she's an unreliable.
They're not unreliable. They played well at the beginning of the year. They hit a wall. Every team goes to a wall. Every team has their lows. Every team has their struggles. What you're seeing in the last two games, with them needing to clinch the playoff game, and what you've seen in Indiana is more like the Sixers. They find a way to get it done. Now, I'm not saying they're going to go out and beat Miami. I'm not even saying they're going out and beating New York. They're going to go out and beat a team that's full of role players and one superstar. And I got to be honest, superstar ain't AI. He's not going to be able to put them on his back, hurt, hobbled, and broken, and give you four wins in 11 days against a Sixers team that can get out and defend him. They're the one team that has three players at each position that can defend him, whether it's point, shooting, or small forward. And provided Lou Williams does not make an appearance in this series, they will win this series.
Now, Kwame, can you just speak on what I consider, like, because one, like, I don't know, like my two cases for the Bulls winning is the advantage that the Sixers have over every team in the NBA, they don't have against the Bulls because the Bulls bench is better than the Sixers bench. And the biggest strength, I think, of the Bulls is their rebounding. Their defensive and offensive rebounding, and the Sixers' offensive and defensive rebounding is horrific. Those are the two places where it's going to be won. Like, I don't know. You're right. Rose, for some reason, doesn't play well against the Sixers. However, the last two games that the Bulls have played against the Sixers, the Bulls have basically destroyed the Sixers' rebounding.
Well, you said the advantage is rebounding, right?
Yes.
The Bulls, as a team, are second in rebounding.
Yes.
You know who else was in the top 10? The Philadelphia 76ers.
But percentage, they, like, because they get up so many shots because they're not, they're just not going to, they don't match up well because they don't have size. Their bigs are soft. And, like, for all, and, like, do you see Spencer Hall's grabbing a rebound over Taj Gibson? Or any of these guys? No.
Who he grabbing a rebound over Taj Gibson? Sam Young. See, it sounds funny at first, but you have to know, you have to watch Sam Young play. This is why they picked him up. He gives them the toughest off the bench that they haven't had.
You think Sam Young's going to get burned in this playoff? I'm telling you right now.
I guarantee you Sam Young gets burned in the playoffs.
Define burn for us.
Not smoking.
At least 15
right?
minutes a game. At least 15 minutes a game.
See, I will drive out to California and hand you whatever we bet on this.
you don't have to do that, but I'll tell you what. You can just call me back when they win.
I will call you back.
You can have me back when you win, when they win.
When we win. No, it's all about the Sam Young thing. But forget it. Well, you know, we won't all agree on the Sixers thing. I do want to ask you, since you're the Lakers writer for Bleacher Report, since you're out in Cali, we have to talk about this Meta World Peace incident from this past weekend. You kind of know him better than kind of we know him out east. That elbow, was that intentional? Was it accidental? Like, what do you? I don't know what to make of this. You know,
it hurt. The elbow hurt. That's all I know.
The elbow hurt. It was intentional. However, I went on a tirade on this on my show yesterday, and I stand by it. You cannot judge Ron Artest by the same standards you judge everybody else because Ron Artest is mentally handicapped. And that's not I'm not exaggerating that. I'm not trying to make light of it. But he's a tire short of four. Of a four-wheel drive. He's a few nuggets short of an eight-piece. I mean, he's not all there. James Harden is known. That's what James Harden does. He likes to get under people's skin. He likes to play tough. You know, if you're on the block, you got a guy that likes to play thug. When he runs into a real thug, that's what happens. He gets knocked out. James Harden purposely went under Ron Artest after Ron Artest made that dunk to try to throw a little shoulder at him to try to let him know that the Thunder weren't going to go away, and he got knocked the hell out. So that's what he gets. Certain thing, and I talked about it yesterday. If I'm defending Ron Artest and David Stern, I'm talking about contributory negligence. And what that basically means is you contribute to your own negligence. You contribute to your own pain. That's what James Harden did. Why is he under Ron Artest? Why is he there? And that's not to absolve Ron Artest of any guilt. Ron Artest is wrong. But Ron Artest has proven that, A, he cannot react normally in certain situations. He has proven that if provoked, he may be a little bit unrestrained. So if you know that going in, and you're James Harden, and you want to play with the Bull, when you get the horns, don't whine about it. Don't cry about it.
He can't whine about it. He
got knocked out by the horn. And you know the crazy thing about it is, everybody wants to point to what Ron Artest did in Indiana and say he's got a history. Ron Artest was fine in Sacramento. Ron Artest was fine in Houston. Ron Artest has been fine in Los Angeles. This was, I won't say it's an isolated situation, but you have a player who chose to provoke another player who is not all there. You remember the movie Something About Mary?
When the guy provoked Warren.
Yeah, he provoked Warren. And what did Warren do? Warren beat the piss out of him. That's what happened.
So Ron Artest said, "Have you seen my basketball?" and elbow James Harden in the face. Okay. Wow, that is definitely the coolest comparison to Ron Artest I've ever heard.
Think about it. Ron Artest was sitting down on the grass minding his business, and James Harden comes and pulls his headphones off his ears for no apparent reason.
Probably the coolest thing, not even the elbow was crazy, but like once like Serge Ibaka came at him, he went off Queensbridge and like got his like fighter stance. I'm like, oh my God, Ron is going to murder somebody right now.
And the funny thing about it is Oklahoma City likes to play tough. They like to act like they're tough. They wanted to try to, I guess, announce their presence with authority.
Right.
The thing about it is be who you are. You're a gazelle. Don't try to be an elephant. Don't try to be a lion. You're a gazelle. Know your role. James Harden, and I know somebody has called him and said, "What were you trying to do? Like, were you trying to bump Ron Artest? You're not tough. Like, what was he trying to do? And why? If you think I'm saying, that's the replay. He walks up to him. He puts his left arm down by Ron Artest's kidney. Puts his right arm up by his shoulder. He leans up. He slides up under where Ron Artest's path when Ron Artest is trying to come down the court in front of the Lakers bench after Ron Artest gets a dunk in Los Angeles. What was James Harden trying to do? What was he trying to do?
Right,
he kicks.
Yeah.
And Ron Artest is wrong. He's 100% wrong. But the bottom line is, like I'll say it again, you can't mess with a Bull and then whine when you get the horns. Ron Artest is a Bull. He's proven that if provoked, he will not act rationally.
Kwame Fisher-Jones, Backpage Sports Bleacher Report. We want to kind of talk a little bit more Lakers. After, you know, Ron had the elbow and, you know, bossed up to Serge Ibaka, got kicked out. Mike Brown, like I kind of wrote about this earlier this week, he kind of had that mad scientist lineup going on at the end of that game.
I saw that article, too.
The Steve Blake, Jordan Hill, Devin Ebanks. Well, I mean, are we, and again, by we, I mean me, are we not giving enough credit for Mike Brown being a good coach? I mean, that was I don't know if that was dumb luck or what, but that worked to a T.
That's Mike Brown at his finest. And he's not getting enough credit. And it's sad because you start at the top. You look at how well Andrew Bynum's playing. Nobody wants to say Mike Brown has gotten more out of Andrew Bynum than Phil Jackson because nobody wants to say, what are you talking about? Because they don't want to hear, what are you talking about? Phil Jackson's a Zen master.
Right.
Phil Jackson hasn't developed a player. So give me one player Phil Jackson developed.
Mm-hmm.
He suffers from the same Larry Brown syndrome. People act like they develop players. They really don't. Phil Jackson didn't develop Andrew Bynum. He didn't take the time to do it. Mike Brown has done it. You go back to Mike Brown's time with San Antonio when he developed Malik Rose. You look at what he did in Indiana when he developed Jeff Foster, the Davis boys, Austin Crozier. You know, you look at what he did with J.J. Hickson in Cleveland, Anderson Varejao. He develops big men. It's what he's done. And you look at any time the Lakers play the Spurs, the first man that comes up and talks to him after the game is Tim Duncan. Mike Brown is a hell of a basketball coach. What he's been able to do with Andrew Bynum to get him to play consistent and confident has been remarkable. He flipped that. He knows Ramon Sessions is horrific on defense. He knows the only person worse than Ramon Sessions on defense is Steve Nash and Allen Iverson. He knows that. So what he does is he puts Ramon Sessions on Steph Alosha to start the game. And then he says, look, Lakers management told me I got to play you. So I'm going to play you. I'm going to play you about 10 minutes. When we start getting smoked, you're going to sit in the bench and I'm bringing Steve Blake in. That's exactly what he did. Ramon Sessions, what he brings to the Lakers doesn't help them in any way, shape, or form. They needed a guy who could defend. They needed a guy who can hit an open three-pointer. And he's shot well since he's been with the Lakers. He's shot well. But you look at his career, he's terrible. He's abysmal from the three-point line. And he has no mid-range game to speak of. He's turnover-prone. He makes poor decisions. That's why he's always a backup. That's why he's always a Friday night girl and not a Monday through Thursday girl. It's tough to say the Lakers have a legitimate chance to go somewhere, to go to the second round when you got Tony Parker, Mike Conley, Westbrook lurking in the, in the weeds there. They've got to get the luck of the draw. If they see anybody outside of Dallas, it could be a quick run for the Lakers. It could be first round and going.
It is what it is. Let's talk about that luck of the draw and how the playoffs, you know, might shake out. I know that the matchups aren't set basically anywhere. Just kind of give us, you know, how you see everything shaking out. Give us your conference finals matchup in both conferences, and tell us how you think the NBA finals is going to ultimately play out.
Well, it's tough in the Western Conference because, you know, you look at a team like Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City right now sits at 2. And, you know, I had an Oklahoma City writer on my show yesterday, and we both agreed. If they see Dallas in the first round, are you confident in saying that the Oklahoma City can beat Dirk Nowitzki 4 times in 11 days?
Right.
After what he did to them last year in the Western Conference Finals? I mean, that was assault with a deadly weapon. That was crazy. What he did to Serge Ibaka was unnecessary. Now you're going to come back with the same roster and expect them to stop him? That's the one team Dallas matches up well with. And flip it, you look at the Lakers would beat Denver, and they'll beat Denver in 4 games easy. But then come back, and if they win, then they got Oklahoma City possibly in the second round, or Dallas possibly in the second round.
Right.
They're not going to beat either one of those teams. And if they get Dallas, they've got a better chance, but L.A. still struggles. They're still in the middle of the pack defending the three-point line. That's one of the one things Dallas does well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Dallas, depending on who Dallas plays, has an opportunity to go back to the Western Conference Finals. San Antonio's another team. If San Antonio avoids Memphis and they avoid the Clippers, and that sounds crazy to people, but San Antonio can't keep up with the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
They can't defend the Clippers. There's no way they can keep up with the Clippers in the seventh. But if they avoid the Clippers in Memphis, then they go to the Western Conference Finals. So to answer your question, I'm going to go, if I have to pick it right now.
Right now.
I'm going to say San Antonio and Memphis. San Antonio and Memphis would play each other. I'm going to say San Antonio and Dallas in the Western Conference Finals.
Okay.
And I'm basing it off how teams are matched right now, too. Because
mm-hmm.
the Clippers and Memphis could flip-flop.
Right.
You know, they're still 4-5. And Dallas and Denver could flip-flop. So that could make a big difference. But I'm going to stay with Dallas and San Antonio in the Western Conference. For the Eastern Conference here, if things stay as – first of all, Boston is not beating Atlanta.
I heard
your co-host there. No way Boston takes it out of the first round. Have you watched Boston play, like, all season? Not in the last few games, just like all season. If there's an older team, point them out. If there's a team that takes longer to get over half court, point them out.
They only have Rajon Rondo, who's had, like, double digits assists for the last, like, 25
games. Have you seen their bench? Greg Stiebsma and all these like,
but that's the thing, Roy. Like, I don't know. In the playoffs, the bench doesn't matter because you tighten the rotation up.
But their rotation
But you just told me the Bulls bench matters. You told me the Bulls bench matters.
So when you have, like, when you're the Sixers and you have a shitty starting five, you need a bench. Like, I'm just going to say it right now. The Sixers starting five sucks ass.
Well, it's bad as a Sixers starting five, and they've been terrible. Let me ask you a question. I don't want to see Lou Williams anywhere near a basketball court against a winning team.
He's your leading scorer.
Against a team that's above 500. He's their leading scorer against teams that are sub 500. What he does against teams that are above 500 is 1-for-19.
Oh, he's terrible.
He shoots you. He's terrible. He gives you 17 turnovers in 2 minutes. He can't make a left. He's horrific. I don't want him anywhere near the court in the playoffs. With that said, I'm still going with my Sixers to beat the Bulls. And this is not the fan talking. This is the NBA analyst talking. The Sixers beat the Bulls. First of all, it's a foregone conclusion. Miami will be in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think everyone agrees with that.
Gotcha.
I'm going to go with the Sixers and Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals.
The Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, no. Let me check. I'm going to go with the, Miami and Atlanta in the Eastern Conference Finals.
All right, that has a chance of happening.
The Sixers wouldn't beat Atlanta. They've got no shot against Indiana, and they would play 4-5 winner. The 4-5 winner would be Boston. It could be Boston or Atlanta because they look about neck and neck. They could beat Boston, but they wouldn't beat Atlanta. Not in a four-game series. I mean, not in 11 days. No. Right. Atlanta's got a bona fide star, not a superstar, but star in Joe Johnson who could close out games for them. But they do beat Chicago.
Okay. Right.
Which paves the way for Miami to go back to the finals and lose.
All right, so Miami's going to go to the finals and lose against who out west?
Well, I picked Dallas to start the season, and I'm stubborn, you know. I picked San Antonio to not even make the playoffs. Who are these guys San Antonio finds every year? Wet league CYO players that come out and like – I mean, Matt Bonner, are you serious?
No, it's more proof that Popovich has got to be the most underrated coach in the history of sports.
Popovich ain't making three-pointers, though. Like, how does Matt Bonner get open every game? Every game he's open for 6 three-pointers, and he knocks on 5 of them. Duncan hasn't scored 20 points since 2001, yet San Antonio still manages to win. Ginobili gets one or two good plays since, you know, a game, and people are still talking about him like he's a good player. It's Parker and a bunch of, like, they're like the old white guys at the court that come out, and they got the high shorts with the spandex that are too long. They got, like, the pony sneakers on, and all they do is J you up. And foul you and J you up. And by the end of the game, you're beaten, you're bruised, you're bloody, and they've won 15-2. That's what San Antonio is. San Antonio's going to the finals. I'm going to pick San Antonio to go to the finals.
That's the final.
Even though my heart is telling me Dallas is going to find a way to get this done, we're going to go with San Antonio.
So
San Antonio wins another title.
He gets one more for the trophy case.
Yeah, because I'm not sold on Miami just yet. Something's, and I love LeBron.
Fair.
He's the MVP. He's got my vote. Anybody that votes Kevin Durant, I want to see them in a dark alley.
They don't understand basketball.
Guards 5 positions, you know, 7 assists a game, 8 rebounds, does everything that team needs and wants. I love Durant, but what Durant does defensively is hilarious. It's hilarious. I mean, Metal World Peace was on his way for a 30 burger before the season, before he gave the shiver bow to Harden. He was on his way to 30 points. I'm going to go with San Antonio. I'm going to go with San Antonio to cut it down. Duncan comes up big in the finals as the Hall of Famer, best power forward to ever play the game does. And San Antonio wins it again. Next season, I think Miami wins the title, but not this year.
Next season, they might actually have a new coach. Or new players.
Wait a minute, hold up. You guys want to get rid of Doug Collins, too?
No, Miami.
Oh, nah, they love Spoelstra.
Even if they catch another L, I don't know how much they love him.
Wade loves Spoelstra, and it's Wade County. Wade County in Miami. Spoelstra apparently was the guy who worked with Wade when they came back and beat Dallas a few years ago in the finals. He was the guy that suggested that they go zone, and he was the guy that stayed working with Wade to get his shot back. And if you remember, Wade had one of the most unbelievable final runs in all time.
Yes.
And he credits that to Spoelstra. He's done it publicly and privately, so he stays with him. I don't think LeBron buys into him. I don't think Milk and Cookies buys into him. Chris Bosh. But they love Spoelstra. He was out coached horribly last year.
Yes.
What Rick Carlisle did to him was He looked like me. He looked like me out there trying to make decisions on the fly, talking about we're going to keep chopping wood. Man, at some point, you got to knock that tree down. The way they switch the zone, the way they spread them out, the way they spread the heat out, the way, man, they put that second heat. He tried to switch the zone. They come back, and they just run pick and pop with Burrell on it. And the Heat had no stopping them. There was nothing they could do. When you come out of the bench with Jason Terry and Barrera, and you send out RoboCop, a.k.a. Mike Miller, I mean, who are you going with? I'm going with Barrera and Terry. Mike Miller's off. I mean, Miller was good in 99, but after Kobe punched him in the face in L.A., it was over. His career hasn't been the same.
Oh, man. One last thing before we let you go. You know, you're a hip-hop fan like us. You're out in Cali. We have to get your thoughts on the Tupac hologram out at Coachella, last 2 weekends, actually. This hologram fad, because it's probably going to be a fad. This is a good thing? Is this a bad thing?
I'm not a Tupac dude, man. Your listeners are about to get really, really mad at me.
Someone with some coolness factor needs to say what you need to say, because like it coming from some like crummy Asian wouldn't mean a damn thing if I said Tupac sucked. So.
You can say it again, because I won't say he sucked, but he wasn't an MC. He wasn't a lyricist. Here's what you do. Anytime somebody tells you Tupac, this is what they do with people who say that Kobe Bryant sucks, they hate Kobe Bryant. You ask them, what isn't Kobe Bryant good at? What basketball facet of the game is Kobe Bryant? And on site, they give you one Tupac lyric that was nice.
Yeah, no.
On site, on cue.
I get around. How if you hear me? Like Big Papa Pump, but like I don't know, like it's not really.
I hear Brenda's got a baby, but Brenda's barely got a brain. A damn shame the girl can hardly spell her name. I got a 4-year-old. He could put that together in 10 minutes.
He
had same song. He had the verse on same song. That was nice. That was nice.
That was probably his best verse, and it wasn't even his. It was Digital Underground.
Shock G probably wrote that. I don't see how you can compare Biggie, how you can compare Ice Cube, how you can compare Nas and Jay-Z, and then come in a conversation with a dude that's got a nose ring. Explain that to me. Just explain that to me. He was a grown man that had a nose ring, and he was gangster. Only on the coast where Jerry curls are scary. That's the only place you could be hard with a nose ring.
Oh, man. Kwame Fisher-Jones, writer for Bleacher Report and host of Backpage Sports, WPMD.org. Let everybody know out there before we let you go. Let everybody know how they can check out your work.
Well, first and foremost, you can always check me out on Twitter. That's where I let everybody know my latest articles. That's @JonesKwame. It's my Twitter handle. You can go to Bleacher Report, Kwame Fisher-Jones. Just follow the guy that everybody seems to think is either on crack or doesn't know basketball. I did an article, 11 Greatest Players of All Time. How do you do an article on 11 greatest players of all time, have a list that includes Elgin Baylor, and not know basketball? That's what I'm getting. I don't know basketball because Jordan's not number one. You know, but you can follow me. You can check me out on Bleacher Report, and you can always go to my website, www.kwamefisher.weebly.com. And every Monday, 4 to 5:30, as you said, WPMD.org, Norwalk, California. And if you're in California, 1700 a.m.
Definitely check out Kwame's work. Awesome stuff. Kwame Fisher-Jones, Bleacher Report, WPMD.org. Thank you again. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Kwame. Appreciate it.
Man, always glad to be on, God. And do me a favor, man. Show some love to my Sixers.
We definitely will.
I don't know. Shock the world. They're going to shock the world. And when they do, I want to be back. When they shock the world.
You will be back.
I want a Clarence Weatherspoon jersey. That's what I want. I want a a 48 Clarence Weatherspoon jersey.
You want the one with the stars on it?
I want the ill one before they had the stars. One right before they had the stars. I want the ill one.
All right, we'll get that made up for you specifically. Clarence Weatherspoon.
All right.
All right. Kwame Fisher-Jones, Backpage Sports and Bleacher Report. We're going to take a quick break.